You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Zania Mosaka
on 702.
In this enduring pandemic and lockdown, it's been 18 months or so, and it's just been ongoing. We've seen several businesses disrupted. Some businesses were destroyed by the recent unrest and looting. The environment has been tough on business. And so today we're going to look at how entrepreneurs can rebuild the economy. I mean, it's safe to say that COVID-19 and the subsequent lockdown have really delivered a harsh blow to South Africa's already limping and ailing economy. And despite the kind of measures that have been taken to ease pressure on businesses, many sectors are still battling to get going. There's also very low consumer spending. It was also there pre-lockdown and it continues within the lockdown. Millions of jobs were lost and many have not been recovered. And according to a recent report, small and medium businesses, if we look at bankruptcies in small and medium businesses, they have gone up from 4% in 2019 to 6.5%. And they are expected to rise over 10% in the year ahead. It's not a good prognosis, especially when you think of the levels of unemployment in South Africa. And many small businesses are kind of scraping around, not knowing where to begin to rebuild, especially those that were affected by the recent looting and unrest. So this afternoon, we're speaking to the CEO of the People's Fund, and that is Luyanda Jafta, about what entrepreneurs can do to build the economy. Luyanda, wonderful to connect with you. Are you well?
I'm well under the circumstances, Azania. Thanks for having me. And how are you?
Yes, also well under the circumstances, considering, you know, I still hold on to Lebo Mashile's tweet the other day saying, did you ever think that one of the missions or a mission for this generation would be to build or to rebuild a country? And I just got goosebumps because really this is where we find ourselves, to take out of what is left of the ashes and build something that to represent the South Africa that we want to live in.
100%, you know. It's crazy. You and I were discussing just before we got on that, you know, considering the crisis, the crazy thing about crisis is it also creates opportunity, you know, once we've dealt with the immediate crisis. And you know, the question, did you ever imagine that you'd be part of the generation that has to rebuild and restructure how we interact with South Africa and what is South Africa, is both scary and exciting at the same time.
So, you know, this, as you say, there are a lot of difficulties, but there's also opportunity. And we've been saying it on the show since the start of this week, in fact, that let's reflect on what's happened, but let's also use this as an opportunity to expedite, to speed up the change and the structural changes that needed to happen. So as you reflect, let's look at the difficulties, the areas of difficulties and challenge first, and then we'll focus on where the opportunities are. You deal with small businesses, small to medium-sized businesses, as they get on with the business of doing business, and you're quite familiar with the challenges that they're confronted with. What are those?
100%. I mean, the number one, as the People's Fund, as you may know, we do purchase order and tender financing, where people require working capital to execute on an order they've gotten from corporate or government. We provide the working capital so that they can execute on that. And, you know, we try to deal with what is commonly the biggest problem, you know, the access to finance, you know. It comes up a lot. But this is the crazy thing, you know, the things we are dealing with right now as a country are actually a function of us not listening. And I say this without caution. The results of the past few weeks, right, outside of the trigger events, are a function of us going, everything is fine. You know, we're cozy, we're comfortable in our lower and upper middle income echelons of South Africa. And we've, for the most part, neglected to deal with the problem of income inequality that persists in the country even after we started as a democracy. We're fetching 30 years and the income inequality is increasing, you know. So some of the challenges that the small businesses are facing is, one, access to opportunity, two, access to finance, and three, a reliable workforce, you know. So those are the three pillars of the main that are the challenges that small businesses deal with. And the thing we experienced was actually that there's not enough productive small businesses in the country to absorb a fair amount of the unemployed or the potentially could be employed by these businesses. So this right now is the pinnacle of the work that we are trying to do. It's the pinnacle and the thing we're trying to prevent with the work we do, you know. And it is unfortunate that it has transpired, you know, but like you said, before we deal with the opportunities, let's deal with the crisis. And
yes,
and I think a big part of it is us actually going down to the streets. As you know, we work directly with small businesses. So there's a lot of listening we do and offering finance in a way that is palatable to small businesses, right? I think there's a lot of that needs to happen from a societal perspective, especially institutionally, you know. You know.
Yeah, in fact, the president, when he was speaking at the Black Management Forum, made some interesting comments, and he said that South Africa has to rebuild our economy and rebuild it in such a way that it has black business at its center. And he said funding institutions must be bold in their support for black businesses at this time. And that's really what you're touching on there. As you say, you listen to small businesses and the kind of arrangements or the kind of positions they find themselves in, and clearly the formal institutions, perhaps, or the institutions that are in the main, have not listened to what small businesses are saying. If anything, even at this point, we're talking about bringing back that loan guarantee scheme. But many are saying your business is already at a desperate point. It's already on its knees. It becomes even more onerous to say to a business owner, go and get a bigger loan, put yourself into another debt to be able to get going again, which is simply not a response that is addressing the position they're in.
Yeah, and I think it speaks to the tone deafness. You know, I stand to be corrected, but I think of the loan guarantee, only 13% was used up by businesses, right? And it speaks to an inaccessibility, the last one we had. It speaks to an inaccessibility where things are done from the top down. And the approach we have to take is from the bottom up, as institutions, you know. Very often what we do is we look at micro problems and solve them on the macro level, you know. And that change in psyche needs to happen immediately from the institutions. That it's crazy, this crisis has shown us that, you know. One of the things is we've been interacting with a fair amount of corporates looking to lend a helping hand in this time, you know. And one of the pushbacks we've had ourselves, the People's Fund and the Hookup Dinner, is that, guys, we could solve the immediate problem, provide relief and aid for the small businesses, but that does not speak to sustenance. The thing that is primarily being screamed from the top of their lungs by small businesses is the access to opportunity. And what we want to do is marry those two things. And the crazy thing is the corporates have been listening a lot, you know. And it's a two-way street of accountability, you know. On one side is the corporates, and on the other side is we need to stop self-excluding as small businesses, you know. We need to stop self-excluding, meaning that we want to be perfect before we pursue the opportunity, you know. As you know, we do purchase order funding, and a fair amount of it is in the public sector, right? And one of the things that we are developing an insight for is that actually prices that the public sector is paying is quite high. And one of the reasons is there's not enough competition at the bidding process, you know, and we need more people to go through the process of bidding in them. Secondly, also people go finding ways to be part of the generalized economy. So I sell amakwinya, for example, right? I sell amakwinya. There's nothing that stops me from bidding to have a cafeteria spot at every single office within my locality, you know, because we do know there's a strong demand for that sort of thing. And I think it goes both ways. And the glue we're trying to be now as the People's Fund is matching those two things, okay. Matching the corporate desire to transform, because they do have a desire to transform, you know, and matching the wants and the needs of the entrepreneurs.
Mm. So let's talk a little bit about the opportunities, because as it's often been said, I mean, it's all these cliches about when there's blood on the streets, that's when you buy the stock, or when things are desperate, this is when you buy a business and get into it. Don't wait for times to be good in the economy to get into business. This is a good time. In fact, it makes your business even more, you almost stress-proof it if you're building it under stressful times. So where are the opportunities? Because we need to be reminded of that in a time where we're quite morose about where our economy is and obviously recent events.
Mm. No, 100%. I was just saying, shoo, because it's like it's a little macabre, you know, it seems deeply capitalistic when there's blood on the street by stock, you know, it's a... and I think the takeaway I have for that sentiment is that, you know, there's something about the human psyche that often we get lulled into comfort, you know, even when things are not going great. And a crisis is often a shock to the system that wakes us up, you know. So this is the beauty that we've seen. And if you want to talk about some of the opportunities, you know, there are very many people who own, for example, vans in the township, right? That are either sitting, doing idle job and that sort of thing. Some of the opportunities are, especially when the crisis broke out, is going to negotiate and structure a deal with a distributor of sorts and say, listen, I'm comfortable. This is my neighborhood. I know they will not be looting my vehicle. I'm comfortable taking those goods and bringing them into the township. And creating an account with you so that I can deliver these goods, you know. I'm just brainstorming some ideas. Another one is ensuring, there's something that I saw on social media happen quite a bit, which I think is absolutely genius by those businesses outside of it being really good. One of them is people said, listen, I own a cleaning business and this is my neighborhood. I will assist you, you know. I will make sure that you're back up on your feet. And I think one of the things that we need to make sure is foster such more such partnerships so that when people are back on their feet as small businesses, as an example, those people who are offering the service become the long-term contractor, because business moves at the pace of trust, or money moves at the pace of trust, and embedding yourself into the crisis, you know, because primarily as entrepreneurs, that's all we are supposed to be, problem solvers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And embedding ourselves in that crisis, embedding ourselves in the solutions, leaves us in the position to make the decision what are the sustainable ways we move forward, as a first example. And then secondly, do not be afraid of the corporates. They are turning in their beds trying to figure out how they can participate. There's a fair amount who are looking to be part of the solution. Knock on those doors like crazy, and they are looking to be part of the solution in the immediate short term, and they want to be part of the solution in the long term. So do not be afraid to go talk to them. And we're mediating some such conversations ourselves as the People's Fund. And what we want to do is get more people into the supply chains of the corporates and government. Do not be afraid to tender. We're actually going to be running a series as the People's Fund that basically trains people in the township how to register, administer your business, tender, and what is going to be required. Because we think if we get more people into that buyer's books, we could move this country in the direction it needs, considering that government is the biggest buyer in the country, bar none.
I want to come back to two points in the time that's remaining. You say entrepreneurs are problem solvers. Yes, at the heart of it, in our environment, looking around, you know, to solve problems that in consequence as well, solve our needs, our problems to earn an income. But are we solving uniquely South African problems? Because, and it's going to be hard for me to express this or for it to come out, and I hope you catch my drift, is that things are structural, right? It's a system that is stubborn to change. But are we chipping away at it with really innovative solutions? You know, innovative solutions that are responsive to our society. I mean, something like M-Pesa, for instance, I think fits this kind of description, that we have a very fixed, rigid banking system, very well established, right? And we still have lots of people who are unbanked, unbanked. And then you have something like M-Pesa that allows you to have this money exchange and so on. So I think that was a unique solution for that context. But as problem solvers, entrepreneurs in this country, our level of problem solving, what is your assessment of that? Because buying, having a purchase order is one thing, but coming with a unique problem solving strategy is another.
100%. And I think that's an important question to raise, you know, because when you think about it, is you raised the structural nature of South Africa's finance environment, right? One of the things that the People's Fund has been doing is we were part of the sandbox with the IFWG, with the FSCA, the Intergovernmental FinTech Working Group. And primarily it was intended to find solutions, right? Specific solutions that are being implemented, but fall outside the regulation because of how the regulation is structured. And I think that's part of chipping away at the structural inefficiencies of our system. You know, one of the things that we often laugh at, you know, is that the People's Fund plays in a market where most financial institutions will not play because of the lack of security and that sort of thing. The People's Fund, of the purchase orders we funded, we've only defaulted 4% and less. This is unsecured lending, for lack of a better way of describing it, right? And primarily what we did was we approached it as the entrepreneurs are. You know, there's not enough institutions, like you're saying, or when I say institutions, or even disruptors who are looking at the structural problems of the country, right, and saying this works wrong, this does not speak to the majority of the country, it speaks to the 10%, right? It's structured, we've got a bunch of apps that are really cool at the top end of the financial sector, but none of the stuff that speaks directly to the people by and large, you know. And that's the question the People's Fund tried to answer, right, loosely, by saying, you've got an order with government, banks say they will not fund it, they need your financial statements, they need X, Y, and Z, and you play outside the category they want to participate. Right. How do we fund it? You know, how do we get into that? So is it a uniquely South African problem? I'd say there's three considerations to make on that.
I've got 30 seconds.
Sure. Sure. One, we need to learn how we hold government accountable. Not enough people understand or know that. There's not enough PR on how to hold government accountable. Two, corporates need you more than you need them. Make sure to hold them accountable as well. Three, the world is your oyster. I'm thinking in 30 seconds. The world is your oyster. If you decide that you're going to do something, the universe will conspire to ensure that it happens. And there's companies like the People's Fund that are available to assist in that journey.
Yes. Keep the soul. Continue to keep the soul in what you do, Luyanda. Thank you very much. Thank you for your time today.